Hello and welcome to the Last Week's Aid podcast. My name is Stephen White, and on this week's show, we review Driven Snow's A Kind of Dreaming, new music from Really Good Time, Gurrier's Lucy Gaffney, Lucy McWilliams, and Ria Rua. But first, dramatic fade out as per usual. Listener, you are very welcome back to the Last Mixtape podcast show. I hope you've had an amazing week. This week we are going to be reviewing the debut album from Driven Snow, A Kind of Dreaming, which just came out yesterday, Friday. And yeah, it's an interesting record. So yeah, let's jump in. Intimacy in art comes in all shapes and sizes, be it sound, concept, or meaning. Music can portray all those small moments with a sense of grandeur and the large ones with subtlety. Driven Snow's A Kind of Dreaming rises and falls with its undulating sonic scope. Opening track Aurora melds lyrical intimacy with slow-burning musicality, building and layering a sense of longing into Driven Snow's music. There's a sense of romance to it, the album. The duo, a couple themselves, weave artistically in call and response and harmony, and songs like the twinkling When You Sleep and jolting harmony-driven Flickers of You, A Kind of Dreaming takes shape as a dialogue between the two, adding to the sense of intimacy that runs throughout the record itself. Closing track, Nothing As Hard As Love, best captures the imagination, a subtle intertwined offering that brings A Kind of Dreaming to a serene and gentle end. Much like the album, the track mirrors that sense of intimacy and belonging between the two. And so it goes. A Kind of Dreaming by Driven Snow. Yeah, I think it is a very interesting record. There will be bigger, bolder, more bombastic, more stylized records this year. But I do believe that this has a home too. Without the quieter, more subtle, and it's not entirely a quiet album, but in kind of comparison to, let's say, Sprints or New Dat, who also released records this year, there's a subtlety to this record that I think, yeah, has a home in the sense of that you can't have the boombast and the loud and everything else without the kind of the quieter, more crafted, more intimate records. And I think, yeah, like intimacy is a big word. It's used throughout my review of it because that's what it is. It is a couple. It is two people making art together. That is an intimate act. That is an intimate thing. Lyrically, it has that sense of kind of the smaller moments that I speak of in the track, the opening track, Aurora, has that kind of the food on your knee, sitting in front of the television with your food on your knee, like thinking about someone or missing somebody. And I think, yeah, I think it's beautifully made. The harmonies, the music itself, everything seems quite considered, quite well done. I think it really is a testament to both artists that they made such a strong and affecting album with the music, and that it has that kind of sense of inner dynamism where it builds in places, it drops in places. It would have been quite easy, given the subject matter and given everything else, to make it too intimate, too quiet, too handmade, maybe even possibly twee or cliche or something like that. And they definitely avoid that completely. The kind of the sense and the scale of the album, there's a little bit of Villagers to it, I think, in moments, in its musicality and in its presentation, that kind of indie folk hazy world. And yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, we've spoken about New Dat and Sprints in the realm of where do these albums belong, where in the scene does a song belong or whatever it is. And I think there are certain musics that are almost immune to it, in the sense that I don't think they were ever going to have, like, if you have like a post-punk revival, it lives and dies by its sense of kind of overcoming what, or, you know, engulfing what's there. And this isn't an album that's going to engulf what's there, but I think it's an album that is 100% worth taking your time, having a listen to and enjoying, because I think you'll find moments in it and gems in it that you really will. I really think Aurora is a hell of a strong track. I really like Nothing As Hard As Love as an ending to the album. It does really feel like it has a beginning, middle and an end. I think the guys have really done a good job of just making something that people will like. And sometimes with art, it isn't about You know, we had the Grammys this week, and you know, it isn't about that side of the world. It's not about everything, like where everything's a big show and everything has to be, you know, bigger, louder, stronger. Sometimes a record can stand on its own for its meaning or what it means to the artist who made it. And yeah, I really enjoyed this record. I think it was really well made by Driven Snow, A Kind of Dreaming. And yeah, I would recommend checking this out. I would recommend having a listen, sitting back maybe on a Sunday or something like that. And yeah, really taking it in and really taking the time to listen to what the guys have made with this, because it is wholly worth your time and it is wholly worthwhile. So yes, A Kind of Dreaming by the Driven Snow. It's out now wherever you want to listen to music, or however you listen to music, you can find it there. But yeah, I would definitely recommend you go out and check it out. Yes, dear listener, you know what time it is for the Count of Monte Playlisto, the greatest playlister of all time, to once again delve deep into the latest tracks coming out of Ireland right now and add them to the single greatest playlist on Spotify, TLMT's Irish Mixtape. Link in the bio and etc., etc. Let us jump in. Let's begin with a really good time with Return to the Cubicle, the new single from these guys, following on from their EP Escape from the Mountain of Spit. And this is an absolutely cracking track. It has that jolting kind of fuzz, kind of nasty sound that they do, which is kind of dynamically kind of punching kind of sound. Like the riff, it has a kind of a stop-start feel to it under this kind of rock and roll crooned vocal. It's kind of like a postmodernist rock and roll, I suppose, in a lot of ways, that it has those elements to it whilst also keeping maybe some of the fuzz-laden noise rock stuff in within it, and, you know, hints of punk, but very much at the back. Yeah, these guys, we featured them in the kind of top bands for the new year, and I'm sure they're in a lot of those kind of categories of ones to watch. yeah, I think they're a great band. I think this is a great single, definitely worth checking out from these guys. Yeah, really has a real kind of, I don't know, sense of self is not the word, but it really feels like it knows what it is, it knows what it does, it hits all those genre numbers and kind of expands on them, so you have a really different sound coming out of it whilst, you know, hitting those expectations. So yeah, great track from them, Return to the Cubicle, really good time. Next up, we have, kind of going along the same sort of thread, we have Gurriers with Des Goblin. Yeah, this one is very much in the house of bands like Idols. There's a little bit of Black Midi I feel in it as well. It's a real all-encompassing, visceral, growling kind of sound from these guys. I really enjoyed it. It has that, like, you know, almost, there's, as I say, there's bits of Idols in there, definitely, in the way that it's punctuated, the way that it's delivered. It has that nasty sense of, you know, aggressive backbone. We're talking about the kind of the post-punk of it all and where it's all going. These guys are in along that lines of it. But I feel, yeah, there's little bits of, you know, Gillaband in there, that there's, you know, these noise rock elements. And I don't know, there's kind of a real feeling of needing to kind of get this music out and needing to be heard, that's really in it. And yeah, it has that real sense of, like, brutalist, unforgiving music. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And that's Gurriers with Des Goblin. Going down the opposite end of things, now we have the latest single from Lucy Gaffney with Big Love. And this goes down the hazy indie pop avenue that I really love and I really enjoy. It's something that's kind of a genre that's made for me. And it hits all of those elements so well. There's real big vibes of Phoebe Bridgers in this, kind of early Phoebe Bridgers in it. It really carries across the emotion and the feeling and the vibe of the music really well, and plays into that genre that is itself we were talking about how popular post-punk is at the moment and that kind of sound. This is definitely one of them. And I think Lucy Gaffney really nails it with Big Love. I think it's a really great, probably, I would go to say probably our best release in terms of how it meets the expectation of the music it's trying to make. As I say, it's, you know, it's in that realm of the Phoebe Bridgers of it all. Boy genius kind of type thing, and meets it. And that's a hard thing to do, one, songwriting wise, two, in terms of production. And I think she really does it. Again, it's just a really worthwhile single to listen to. I could see it on a bunch of playlists because, yeah, you could just listen to that and really just ingrace yourself in what is a beautiful, beautiful sound. And yeah, a songwriter that is, on the up. Big Love by Lucy Gaffney. Check it out. Up next, we have Lucy McWilliams with Old Ways. And this is absolutely, I really adore this track. This is going down a little bit of the lines of like the new dad of it all, or maybe even a little bit of Just Mustard in there too. And it's a song that has, again, almost like the Lucy Gaffney track. It has this kind of hazy kind of, nah, nah, nah. And then all of a sudden it's like, ah! And then... reviewing, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, it goes ah-ha! And then it ends, or it kind of goes back to a little bit, but the kind of the fuzz is still there. So that's my review. I think that it's a song that, yeah, there's a lot of texture in there. There's a lot of different sounds going on in there. I think she has found a really interesting way to portray her music and her songwriting in something that you would traditionally associate with a band, as we said, Just Mustard and New Dad and stuff like that. I think this is a cracking track. When it did get into that bit in the kind of middle to the end of the song and it goes, ah! I really enjoyed it. So there you go, Lucy McWilliams. There's a review. Can't get that in a written word, can you? Old Ways by Lucy McWilliams. Hey, check it out. Next up on the chopping block, we have Ria Rua with Asking For It. This is one of a kind of a series in, not a series of tracks, but basically there's a few different versions of this. I went with the live in Camden Studios version of this, and very different from the others. There's these bits of like electronic in it. It has a kind of a growl to it again, which I love, as you probably have taken that I really love in music. And it has a real attitude and pointedness to it and to the music from Ria Rua and this. And it's an interesting track, yeah. I think it melds many different sonic flourishes into something that is quite all-encompassing, but without losing a sense of self, without you ever kind of feeling, well, this is, I have no idea what each element is doing. I don't know. You can hear everything and what it's supposed to be doing, and you can hear her within it. And obviously, you know, the meaning of it plays into that kind of visceral sound. And I really enjoyed it. It's a song that I love, songs where you can kind of listen to it a couple of times and find new elements that you enjoy. And I think this song is filled with it. And you can see how it lends itself then to remixes down the road and stuff like that, or on the, if you want to call it an EP as well, there's different versions. But yeah, I like this one because I think there's a little bit more life to it in the performance. And yeah, definitely check it out, Ria Rua with Asking For It. And finally, we'll end with the new track from Kasha, Fire Me Up. And this is more on the vivid pop end of the spectrum, where they're, you know, not as visceral, not as all-encompassing. It's more about the beats. It's more about preciseness. It's about the vocal. Most certainly, Kasha's vocal is absolutely beautiful in this, and it has a real sense of atmosphere and melding and wielding to it. Just beautifully made, beautifully performed. Making pop music like this is so difficult because of how precise you need to be and how much your voice needs to stick out from the pack. If you think about how many people are trying to make pop songs or in this vein, it's very difficult. I think Kasha has a voice and a sound that lends itself so well to that, to standing out from the pack, to standing a little bit different. It's a beautifully lush and vivid track. You could totally get lost in it. It's a shame it's only like 3 or 4 minutes, because it's something that you're like, oh, I'd like to kind of stay here as a sonic world for a little bit longer. I'd like to stay in the company of this song a little bit longer. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Kasha, Fire Me Up. Definitely go out and check it out. I think there's some more new music coming in the coming weeks and months. So definitely check her out. Dramatic as ever. Before I go, I want to share with you my gig of the week, which will be Mick Flannery live in Vicar Street on Saturday night, February 17th. Do go out and check Mick out. Always an amazing performer, an amazing songwriter in his own right. But, and so it goes, and there it went. Before I go, thank you for listening to the Last Mixtape Podcast. You can subscribe to Last Mixtape Podcast in all the usual places and spaces. You can also submit your music to the greatest playlister of all time, the Count of Monte Playlisto, me, Stephen White, via Stephen at thelastmixtape.com with the subject matter TLMT podcast, or via Instagram, or as I say, walk up to me in the street and go, Stephen, you must listen to me. Don't, as I say, do that. But for now, that was the Last Mixtape Podcast. You're the listener, and I was Stephen White. So long.